1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned."
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word with Pastor Brian Griffin. Walk in the Spirit is an outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we will all learn to walk in the Spirit.
When was the last time you could think about in your life that somebody did something for you or just got something for you or was just a blessing to you in some way? And it really came from someone you never would have expected it to come from, and or maybe it was somebody you would have you've gotten blessed by before, but you just weren't expecting it. And when you ask them why they did it, they just kind of give you one of those looks on their face, like, "Why not?" Or perhaps they even said something like, "Because I love you," or "Just because I just want to be a blessing to you, and Jesus told me to do this." I hope that you've had a moment like that, or perhaps you've been in a moment like that, even on the other end of that kind of conversation. I want to talk to you this morning about that in particular, because in moments like these, when we have things like this happen to us, it is very humbling, isn't it? When somebody gives to you or does something for you, unexpected or something that you don't deserve, if I can put it that way, or something you know you don't deserve, however you want to put it, it is very humbling to find yourself on the receiving end of something like that. I want to start this morning by sharing with you a story from my own life about when something like this happened. It's a story that most of you are pretty familiar with, but when I was thinking about our text this morning, the Lord pointed these points out to me that I had never really thought to contemplate the depth of what we're looking at in the way that this happened. My story actually comes from the very beginnings, if I can put it to you that way, of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, actually before I'd even come to know him as my Savior, the night before, just preceding to that, what happened. Most of you know what happened. I was living in Las Vegas, Nevada as a young man on my own. I'd gone out with my roommate and his girlfriend down to the Las Vegas strip down there just to quote-unquote have fun. And so we went down there for the evening, and we made a plan that we were going to meet back at the car at a certain time. And once we met back at the car, then we would go home. Well, the time arrived, and I went back to where the car was parked, and they had left me down there on the strip. And so I had no choice at that point but to walk home, which is not necessarily a big deal. I mean, obviously, walking is good for us, at least they tell me it is. But the truth of the matter is this, is I, with the way I walk, one of the things I experience is with dragging my feet the way I do on a cool electric slide, when I walk and I drag my feet and I wear out my shoes very quickly. And so the walk that I had was a pretty extensive walk. It wasn't the best of shoes to begin with, but I wore out my shoes to the point that literally I was honestly walking in nothing but covered feet. And my feet were scraping against the ground and getting tore up. It was at this point, as many of you may recall who heard my testimony, at this point when I looked up into the skies and I cursed God and told him I wanted nothing to do with him. Thank God he did not listen to me. But it was at this point that two men pulled up in a Cadillac with these big Brooklyn, New York kind of accents, you know, the Goombas is what I would call them if I'd ran into them. You know, they're like, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm doing good. How you doing?" You know, kind of guys. And so they pulled up and they said, "You want a ride?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take a ride." And I wasn't very far, about a mile at most from my house, maybe even less than that, actually probably about closer to a half mile from my house at that point. But because my feet were so sore, I was so tired, I was like, "Yeah, absolutely, I'll take a ride." Now, this is where those moments of love came from. Now, what I mean by that is this, is to see me as a young man all by myself out extremely late walking on the streets of Las Vegas, Nevada. I'll be honest with you, if you ever go to Las Vegas, Nevada, you see some young man out on the streets walking alone, let God really speak to your heart, leave him alone, okay? I say that for your own protection. But honestly, why these two men would have stopped and offered me a ride, I don't know. It was a blessing, and it was honestly a gift that they gave to me that they didn't even realize they were giving to me. I didn't think they realized that they were giving to me at that time. Not only did the gift not stop right there, the gift went on from there because they offered to take me out to breakfast. And so they took me out to Arizona Charlie's. Yes, it's a casino, but they have 49-cent really good breakfasts. And so, or at least they did then. I'm sure they're a little more expensive now. But they took me out to Arizona Charlie's for breakfast. And as I've shared with you guys before, I remember as we were sitting there at breakfast thinking, what the heck, what's the angle? What do you guys want? But they just kept saying things. Every time I'd ask them, like, okay, what's up, guys? What do you want? What do you know? What's going on? You know, they kept saying those cliche Christian things like God bless, Jesus loves you. Oh, we just wanted to be a blessing to you and things like that. You know, to the point that you want to throw up if you're an unbeliever. But the truth of the matter was is that they went on. They would never give me what I thought was a straight answer. I'd like knowing, living in Las Vegas, being a kid who was on the streets in Las Vegas, this is typically speaking where the beginnings of a story happen that would not end well. And what I mean by that was this, is that they were going to offer me some sort of opportunity, we'll call it that, to do something that usually was not legal, but that could provide me with a pretty good amount of money. And so I thought for sure that that's what they were coming together for and why they were offering to take me to breakfast and things of this nature. We went all the way through breakfast, no offer of a job. Just praise Jesus, God bless, just wanted to bless you, love you, Jesus loves you. At this point, we got back into their car and they took me to my house and they dropped me off. And at this point, was where the third time they gave me an expression of love for no reason whatsoever came. It was when they turned around and gave me a $50 bill and said, go get yourself some shoes. I asked him again, why? Because Jesus loves you. I got out of the car and I was so humbled by that thought because I'll be honest with you guys, I'm going to be brutally honest right now. I don't think I had ever experienced unconditional love like that in my life. A love that came from somewhere that didn't matter. Somewhere that I'd never even known. A love that was driven by something that I had no concept of, and a love that came with no conditions attached to it whatsoever. I have never heard, never don't even know those gentlemen's names, never seen them again in my lifetime. I mean, I'm assuming I will when I get to heaven. But they gave me three great gifts that night out of a heart of pure love. What was the scam? What was the angle? Well, that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. I want to talk about what their angle was. I know it's going to sound crazy here, that was 1995. I can't do my math very quickly, that was 92, excuse me. And so December of 1992, and so doing my math quickly, I can't. So we'll just say it was over 25 years ago, right? Right? 23? Okay, pretty close. See, I told you I can't do my math. All right. Obviously, as a kid on the streets, I wasn't in math class, all right? Okay, so anyway. But the truth of the matter is this, is that that many years ago, they so impacted my life, but it took me this many years to figure out, honestly, what their angle was. And it comes from our text this morning. It says there in verse 5 of chapter 1 of Timothy, now the end of the commandment is charity. I want to pause right there for a second. The end of the commandment is charity. What does that mean? It means the end of the commandment. All commandments, yes, every commandment that God has ever given reaches its end, and we have to understand that idea of end means the completeness or finished thing with charity. With charity. Charity is a word they're familiar with, the agape in the Greek, where we get our word, the agape love, love that is ascribed only to being God, as God is agape, God is love. None of us can say that we are love. We can say that we can exercise love, but we are not love, but we are called to love with that love. That agape love, that end love, that perfect love, if I can put it to you that way. We know that there is only one who is love, but he has called us to love. As a matter of fact, and right here he gives us instructions to say that the end of the commandment is charity. Now, I want you to notice one thing here. Notice the word commandment itself. What is the commandment? See, the problem is so many of us look at the Word of God as all these little instructions about what we're supposed to do, and we pick and choose the ones we like. Well, I don't really like what God tells me to do there. I don't really like that about that. No, let me tell you what the commandment is. It is the conclusive work of God. All of it. You don't get to pick and choose what parts of God's commandments you want to keep. They're His commandments. They are perfect. You are instructed to keep the commandment. Period. Now, we know that we could break it down and go into all the different commandments, and we have to look at some here in a minute. But the truth of the matter is this, that we have to understand that what He's telling us right here is to finish or to complete, to make perfect, if I can put it to you that way, the commandment is simply to have a heart of charity. A heart of charity. Matter of fact, we understand how important this is because this is who God Himself is. This is who God Himself describes Himself as. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'll give you a moment to get there. But in 1 John chapter 4, we see where this agape love, this charity is God. This is what we're talking about. This is why that commandment ends right there. Because in 1 John chapter 4, when you get there, look at verse 7 with me. And we'll just read to begin with down to verse 12. It says, beloved, let us not love one another. That's not what it says. I'm lying to you. It doesn't even say anything close to that. It says the exact opposite. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might through Him might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You want another way of saying that word perfected? End. So the end of that commandment, that perfected love, comes from God. And I want you to notice as we go through that, God is the only one who we can call love. God is love. We can love. We can exercise the love of God, because every time we ran into that idea of love in there and loving one another, it was exactly that aspiration. It means to basically love like God. So we can and we should love like God. And I tell you that this morning because I'm just as guilty at times in my life. I've thought, there's no way I could ever exercise agape love. I am not God. Well, if I can't do it, then why would God command me to do it? Why would God give me something to do that I can't do? Here's the truth of the matter, and I want you to understand this. You can love like God. You can love like God. You can't be love like God. Meaning you're going to fail at different moments and stuff like that, but you can love like God. You can exercise the love of God in your life. How do I know that? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you would yield yourself to the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is going to love, how is the Spirit of God going to love? Well, it is God. He's going to love like God. He tells us to love that way. It's completed, it's finished, it's brought to an end if we love that way at the point. And that's what he says there in verse 12. He says, look how many times he tells us to love throughout that passage, though. But at the end of verse 12 there, he says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Perfected, to be complete, finished, and brought to an end. But how? Continue to read in that passage. John chapter 4, verse 13 through 16 now says this. Marvel not, brethren, if the world, I'm in the wrong chapter, let's try again. Hereby we know that we dwell with Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God. And we know and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, we're never changing the idea of the noun verb here. There's some verb tense, noun agape in here. There's some verb tenses in there, but the truth of the matter is the same word. He's telling us to love like God. He's telling us that we dwell in him and that we love. We're going to dwell in God. We're going to be in God, because whoever confesses him can do this. Why? Because the Spirit is given to us. So we can love like God. So many of us make an excuse, and know, and for those of us who might consider ourselves a little bit Bible scholars, we know, well, what we really exercise is phileo in the Greek, the brotherly love. We see that other places in the text in the Bible too, right? That brotherly love, phileo. where we get our word Philadelphia from. You know, that's why it's called the city of brotherly love. But here's what we understand. We go, well, I can only phileo somebody. A matter of fact, we always go to that story when Peter was on the shore with the Lord after the Lord had risen, and the Lord came to the shore and said, cast your net on the other side, and they cast the net on the other side, caught all those fish, and Peter said, it's the Lord. Jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. I love Peter. All right? Jumps out of the boat, swims to shore. And remember in the conversation the Lord had with Peter there on that shore, they got in a conversation where the Lord said to him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Now, a lot of us try to go to that, and we go to preach to that text, we always talk about the different ideas in love there. One being the agape love. Peter, do you agape me? And him saying, Lord, you know all things, you know I phileo you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Peter was being honest. Lord, I haven't gotten to that place where I love you that way yet. I will. And I think he did. And I know that because if you read through 1 Peter, you can see the love of God in there and how he uses the word agape in there. And the truth of the matter is this, is that we understand that at that point he was having that conversation. But many of us use that as an excuse. See, we can't agape love. We can't have God's love for one another, can we? We can only phileo one another. We can only have brotherly love. I kind of like you. No. He's telling us to love each other. To love each other. Matter of fact, he said that in that last word, he said, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you see that all that agape kind of love in there? Do you know another way agape is defined is a love feast? Meaning that it's just feeding on that love. It's just something where you come in and you feel nothing but love. That's what this church is supposed to be, by the way. Did you know that? That's why God put us together as a body of Christ, that we're supposed to be a love feast. You're supposed to be able to come in here and feel the love of God from your brothers and sisters. Not the judgment. Not the, well, can you believe what she wore? I can't believe what he said. I blah, 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 and whatever you want to get into. We're not supposed to be doing those things. You're supposed to come. This is the place you're supposed to be safe. This is the place you're supposed to be able to come in and just know that your love for who you are, warts, dents, all those things included. Whether you're overweight, underweight, long hair, short hair, big nose, small nose, brown eyed, blue eyed, colored, and uncolored, I don't care. You're supposed to be able to come in here and feel the love of God. That's what you're supposed to feel here. That's why I have such a hard time with churches that I go and I visit where they're all about a show. You know, it's all about a show. Well, we got to look like we're a great church, so everybody wants to join us, and we can grow to like thousands and thousands of people. We don't know any of them, but man, that's awesome. I love it when I run into some of those people from big churches, and they tell me about how, and I hear these stories all the time. I've been going to church with that person for 3 years and didn't even know them. Really? Why? Well, they went to a different service. No, they went to a different church. No, they went to my church. No, if they're in a different service, they're in a different church. I'm going to be honest with you. It's one of the reasons why I have a hard time with churches that get together and on Sunday morning they send their youth out to have their own youth service. Why? They can't love each other? They can't love us and we can't love them? They should have their own church? But this should sound familiar to us, doesn't it? The fact that we can keep the commandment if we would just simply love. I hope that sounds very familiar to you. Because we know who told us that, don't we? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm not saying, by the way, that we shouldn't have youth groups, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have college-age studies, and that we shouldn't have, you know, singles ministry as long as they don't become a dating ministry. I'm not saying things like that. All right? I have no problem with those things. But when we get together as a body of Christ like we do this morning, we are here together to love one another. That's what we're here for. Anytime we gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we should be feeling. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. You remember this passage, the Lord speaking here. But in particular, they come to him, they say, Master, verse 36, Matthew 22, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I love that question because that tells you what these guys were looking for is, what's the one I got to keep? Isn't that what they were looking for? What's the one, Lord, that I got to keep that's going to get me to heaven? That's what I want to know. Because then I could throw the rest of the book away and just keep the one and I'll be all right. And he says to them, Jesus said in verse 37, Jesus answered them and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. And this is the part that many of us we gloss over. Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let me just kind of put that in layman's terms for my own mind, if you don't mind. In other words, what he's telling us right there is if you can keep those two commandments, the rest is done. If you would just learn to agape, a love one another, if you would just learn to love God and love one another, the rest falls into place. You don't have to, I'm not saying you don't have to learn the Word of God. I'm not saying that you're going to perfectly keep the Word of God if you can learn those two things. But what I'm telling you is this, is if you are actually exercising those two principles in your life, if you're working towards that goal in your life, then all the rest of what you struggle with and people get worried about and whether or not I'm saved or I'm not saved and whether or not I've done enough good works or I haven't done enough good works, whatever, all that's going to fall into place. All the law and the prophets hang on those two things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying that, by the way. That's not me. I didn't make that up. Now, I know some of us go, I get so upset with these churches that are all about love, love, love. I think Mr. Murray said they sound like the Beatles, right? Okay. But you know, we get upset with those when we're all about love, love, love. Well, you know what? Here's the truth. We are about love. And we are all about love. It began with love and it will end with love. But here's where the problem lies. Understanding what love is, isn't it? That's where the problem lies. What is love? What is love? I mean, all the commandments of God hang on these two things. And if we were to turn, I'm not going to make you turn there in interest of time because we know what they are. But if we were to turn to the Ten Commandments, just for an example, from Exodus chapter 20. Listen to these things. You shall have no other, and I'm paraphrasing here, so please don't get upset with me, okay? I'm doing the Sunday school version that hangs on the wall, okay? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. Okay, if we were to look at that list, the first four commandments speak to loving God. You shall have no other gods before me. Love God, you shall have no other gods before him. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. If you love God, you're not going to make yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you love God, you're never going to want to defame the name of Christ. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you love God, you're going to make it a priority to be with God and God's people. And then we go into our relationship with men. Honor your father and mother. If you love God, by the way, I don't want to just pick on all our young people sitting out here. If you love God, you will honor your parents. Whether they're 89 or 49 or 32. There you go, Eddie. All right. All right. Even if they're 16. All right. You're going to honor them. You're going to honor them if you love God. If you love God and you love men, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to murder them. Now, we understand there's a difference. We can even look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can understand the difference between killing and or murder and killing, can't we? All right? There is a difference. I'm not going to get into those things right now. That's a different study. Okay? So I'm not sitting here disparaging our military when they have to go out and defend our nation and they may take the life of somebody else. There's a difference between murder. It's when I intentionally desire to go into. Now, I won't lie. I get nervous about the young men I run into who are like, I want to get in the army. Why? So I can go over and kill those guys. What is the matter with you? And especially if they call themselves a Christian. I have a real hard time with that one. I won't lie. I would rather see them saved than dead. But then he says what? You shall not commit adultery. If I love you, I'm not going to want to sit there and make you fall into fornication, or I'm not going to want to have relationships that are inappropriate with your wife. Nor should you want that with mine. And if you love me, you wouldn't. And you shall not steal. If I love you, I'm not going to take what God has given you. If you give it to me as a blessing, by all means. But I'm not going to steal it from you. I was actually talking on the way down to Salt Lake yesterday afternoon with Miss Rose because she fellowshipped at a church for a while where it was pretty much discovered that the pastor's wife would take up all sorts of offerings all the time for new toys for the nursery and stuff like that, and she just kept pocketing the money. And I said, you know what's amazing to me about that? Even when I was a thief, before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew better than to steal from God. I mean, seriously. I even knew better than to steal from God, because if he was there, the last thing I want to do is take what was his. I mean, if they were to give me mercy at all, right? But then, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shouldn't lie. If I love you, I'm not going to lie about you. I'm not even going to tell half-truths. I'm not even going to do that silent implication. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Well, he's a nice guy. Yeah. Just pray for him. Why? What am I saying right there? I'm saying there's something the matter with him. You need to pray for him. I'm not even going to do that if I love you. Because if I love you and I see that you're doing something that is wrong or you have an issue, guess what I'm going to do? Talk to you about it. I'm not going to put it on Facebook and cloak it under something else. That's one of the reasons why I won't lie to you guys. I hate the Facebook. I hate the Facebook. I mean, social media by itself, because it can be a useful tool, but I hate the Facebook. You know why? A bunch of wimps are on Facebook. There's just nothing but a bunch of wimps on Facebook. Because they will say on Facebook what they would never dare say to you in your face. They'll post things that they won't even talk about. That's why I hate the Facebook. And in case you're curious, I have a blog on our website about Facebook. And you might be surprised, it's not about the Facebook. Anyway. But if I love you, I will not covet anything that is yours. I'm not going to want what you have. I want what God wants for me. If I love you, when you get a new car, or you get a new house, or you get a new job, or you win the lottery. Okay, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but I'm going to love you, and I'm going to be excited for you. I'm like, that's awesome, praise God. I'm not going to go, well, I can't believe that they would spend their money that way. Do they know they're starving children in Africa? Well, do you? What are you eating at night? How much are you surviving off of? It's amazing to me how many of us want to point fingers at each other. But if I love you, I'm not going to do those things. Isn't that the truth? If I love you the way that God loves you, I'm not going to get upset about what you're doing. I might get upset when you're walking away or you're sinning or things like that. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But here's the point of the matter. If I love you, if I have a heart of love, I will not desire anything that is contrary to what the Lord Jesus Christ desires for you as well. In fact, Paul said it this way, that I should, well, let's just turn there. Let's read it. We got time. So I don't smell the food quite yet. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, excuse me. We all are familiar with this passage, aren't we? I'm getting in the wrong place. Let's go talk about Paul speaking about the importance in love and what Paul has to say about the importance of this kind of love. Why is love so important? Paul says it's so important, and this, listen to some of the things Paul compares love to and says that love is more important as we go through this passage together. We're familiar with this. You probably have this written somewhere in your house, most likely, or you've seen it on a greeting card or something like that. I mean, even the world gives this one away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. We're going to read the entirety of the chapter today. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I could have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. I want to stop there for a couple seconds, just if you don't mind. Just bear with me for 1 second here. What the Apostle Paul is telling you right now is, if you think yourself a spiritual giant because you happen to have the gift of tongues, and that's a whole nother study for another day, all right? But if you think you have the gift of tongues, or perhaps you do, and you think that you are so mighty because of those things, or maybe you're so mighty because you understand the Word of God better than somebody else, and God's revealed something to you, and you have knowledge beyond other men, and you don't love, then he says right there, you are nothing. Whoa. But he doesn't stop there, does he? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. I can take a vow of poverty and give it all away, but if I don't love as God loved, and I'm doing it for my own self-righteous acts, my own self-purpose, then I have done it for no cause whatsoever. It says this, charity. Oh, and I know, you guys might know that I actually have been putting the word love in there, haven't I? All right? And we're going to talk about charity, and there's a reason why it's written that charity, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, because I don't want you to think that I think this version of the Bible is written wrong, okay? Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I love the fact that he's putting away childish things, and he's talking about knowledges and all this prophecy and tongues and all that fun stuff. And then he goes on to this, and he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Lest you think love and charity is not a big deal. The greatest of these is charity. Love, the Lord tells us, covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Love covers a multitude of sins. Guess what multitude means? Various types and many. What? Yeah, that's what he says. Now, you may have noticed that I was kind of interchanging there the idea of love and charity. And here in our text, we read the word charity. And in our text, even in 1 Timothy, we read the word charity. And I want to point out that the reason why the word charity is written there and not just the word love, because charity speaks of action. Charity speaks of action. It's not just an emotion, it's not just a feeling, and it's not just words. It's an action. So if I can put it to you this way, love does something. It does something. It's a proactive thing. It actually does something. It doesn't just sit back on its heels and go, well, I love everybody. Matter of fact, you know how important that idea that love does something is? Let me read to you that all too famous passage, John 3:16. Let me read it to you first the way it's written. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a beautiful verse, right? For God so loved the world. Agape again, love in action. But what if we read it this way instead? For God so loved the world that he said that he thought about giving his only son. Where would that leave us? We'd go to hell. See, if love doesn't have action with it, we're perishing. You see what I'm saying? Love has action with it. You do something with it. You don't just go, oh. And this is why I have a hard time with, and no offense to those young people who might be dating somebody. This is why I have a hard time with, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids dating. But we're in love. Hush. Hush. Because you're not self-sacrificing. You're not even your own self yet. You're still living at home. Ooh, dang, he went there. Yes, I did. Because here's the point. Even as an adult, if you're not self-sacrificing, you're not giving love away, you're not working love, you're not having action with your love, then guess what you are too? You're not loving. You're not. I'm sorry. You could tell me all day long. If you came to me and you saw me starving on the street and said, I love you, and watched me die of starvation, I would have a real hard time believing you love me. What if I'm going down the wrong path towards destruction? And all you do is wave at me, love you, bye, good luck. And you watch me go off the edge of the cliff into destruction. I'd have a real hard time believing you love me. I'd really have a hard time with that. I'd really think to myself, really? You love me enough to send me to hell. That's some kind of love, thank you. You love me enough to watch me go out and destroy myself. Thank you. I love you too. I mean, in all honesty, love in action, it does something about it, doesn't it? Matter of fact, we know that because James tells us that same idea about this idea of doing something. When he says in James, we read this last week, but let's just read it again. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And we read these words. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And we're going to read a smaller section of it now, but it says, I'll give you a moment for those of you that are getting there. James chapter 14. James chapter 2. There's no James chapter 14. I'm not writing new books. Don't worry. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, if I can put it to you this way, love you, bye-bye, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And if I was you, if I could put it to you this way, abideth now faith, hope, and love, but the greatest thief is love. If you have love and not works, it's dead. If all you're telling people is I love you, but you're never willing to self-sacrifice, never willing to do something outside of yourself, I might look at this passion and even tell you and tell people, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. I love you. Don't worry about it. I love you. And many of you, I know the first couple times you come to the church and I start telling you I love you, you're like, that guy's a weirdo. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't say that because I am a weirdo. I am a weirdo, but not, that's not why I say that. I say that because I do love you, because at the very least, I love you as much as my Savior loves you, in the sense that I don't want you to go to hell. That's how much at least I love you. The longer I get around you, the more I get to know you, the more I love you, and the more I'm willing to give more of myself and more of my time and more of my life to you, because I love you. It's easier the more we get like that, isn't it? Charity. But now let's go back and talk about this charity from our text. Turn back to Timothy with me if you would now. So the end of it all. You want to complete the work of God? Love one another. Love all. Love the Lord Jesus Christ at very least. Start there. Let him, and then pray, Lord, teach me to love as you love. I pray God for those men who loved me enough to pick me up on that street in Las Vegas. And they loved me enough because they loved their Lord enough. And that's the truth. I know what their angle was now. They didn't want me to go to hell. Thank you. I didn't want to go either. Verse 5 says these, now the end of the commandment is love, charity, out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. Now this one gets a little more personal. There's more about the idea of charity. It comes out of a pure heart, meaning what? Loving not for yourself or for your own selfish gain, but loving them for the Lord and expecting nothing in return. That's what a pure heart's all about. Matter of fact, that's also how we get a clean conscience in it. Because if you love somebody when they can give you something back or because you expect something back, then you have a dirty conscience. You didn't do it for a right motive. But if you love them just because the Lord Jesus Christ loved them and you want them to see better and to have better and to be taken care of, and you just love them that way, not expecting something in return, that's pure love. That's love from a pure heart. Matter of fact, Paul puts it to us this way in Philippians chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We read these words. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And by the way, I am saying that I should go back and correct myself about that love and people, you know, we're in love, that's why we're dating. You're in love, you get married, and that's a different type of love. That's an eros. And we'll talk about that someday too. But that agape love of God wants what's best for that other person, no matter what. Even if that best isn't you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill me ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Here it is. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that is love. What's so loving about that? It is not looking to their own. It's looking to the better of somebody else. It's esteeming somebody else more important than yourself. Do you understand the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, loved you and esteemed you so much that he was willing to take anything, including death and the death of the cross? Do you love anybody like that in your life? Do you love your Lord like that? Let's just start there. Do you love your Lord enough that you would want what's absolutely best for your Lord, no matter what he should bring you to, and that you'd be willing to suffer and even to die if need be because of your love for the Lord? This is the love he's calling us to have, that agape love, that perfect love, that love in action, that charity, as we said. This is what it's all about. Not let nothing done, and this is the point, right? Let nothing be done. This is that pure love. Nothing done through strife or vainglory. In other words, don't do it because you feel like, oh, I have to do this. It's one of the hardest things to do, I won't lie. We woke up, well, I should actually, let me correct myself so my wife doesn't correct me later on. Chandra woke up this morning at 2:45. And she couldn't go back to sleep. And she couldn't figure out why she didn't go back to sleep. So she got up and did a couple other things while I slept. And at about 5 in the morning, she came in and told me, we forgot to set up for the potluck. I'm like, oh. Now, do you guys understand, I recently got a MyPillow. And they're really comfortable. The commercial doesn't lie. Okay? And my head was saying, you don't want to go. Don't worry about it. I mean, seriously, my flesh, my body, my mind is coming all through. Oh, I'll just make it. We love each other. We can all serve. Let's just, after church, we're all going to set up. No. So I got out of bed, texted a young man. Praise be to God. He was awake, so he'd come help us. But nonetheless, I got out of bed and came down here. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. At first, my heart was like, I can't believe I got to do this, Lord. But by the time I got here, praise be to God, and we talked about it long enough on the way down here, my heart had changed. And I was so excited about getting to have a meal with you all today that it was no longer out of strife. And I didn't do it because I want you all to stand up and say, look at what a good job you did setting up chairs, Pastor. I've never seen anybody who sets chairs up like you before. I didn't do that either. I did it because I wanted to have a love feast with you guys today. Does that make sense? And my point is this, guys, if we don't do it through strife or vainglory, and if you're loving only because you're expecting something in return, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Because love is sacrificial. Any parent can tell you that, right? I mean, seriously, if you've had a child over the age of 2, you know, if you have a child over the age of 3 months, no, if you have a child, period, you know love is sacrificial. Because when that baby starts crying in the middle of the night, he never asks you, are you tired? Would you like to sleep a little longer? Love is sacrificial. And it esteems other better than themselves. It thinks more of the other people around you than it thinks of you. Back in our text now, and we'll close out this morning. Back in our text, it says this to us. And this is a big point here, guys. We're going to kind of close with this, though. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. If I can put it to you this way, with faith unfeigned, why would he tell us to be loving one another, showing charity one to another out of a pure heart, but also instruct us to do it with unwavering faith? Because sometimes it really is hard to love. But you have to love, not expecting in return. You have to love, not wanting anything from the other person. You have to love with a heart that fully expects to be abused. And when this does happen, when they abuse your love and take advantage of you because you continue to love them, remember, and I would put it to you this way, actually, I would say congratulations to you because you finally now have an experience in common with your Savior. Because he loves us no matter what. He doesn't do it because he expects in return, and he gets abused with his love all the time, doesn't he? But how do we keep going with this heart? And maybe more importantly, why should I keep going with this heart of loving charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and with unwavering faith, not worrying, not getting tired or wearying of doing it? Why would we do this? Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to close here. Colossians chapter 3. Picking up at verse 16 when you get there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 24. We read these words. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you shall serve the Lord Christ, for you serve the Lord Christ. Why do we do it? Why? And how do we keep going? We keep loving one another. Wives loving their husbands, husbands loving their wives, children loving their parents, fathers loving their children, servants, that's all of us, obeying in all things our masters, those who are over us, with not eye service, but with a singleness of heart, fearing God. We do it all. Why? Because we do it heartily, not for that person, but for your Lord. For your Lord. And when you do it for the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll do it with joy. Guarantee you. Because your flesh will battle against other people, but your spirit will rejoice when you do it. Let's go out now. And I just close with this idea, do it heartily unto the Lord, because of him we shall receive our reward. Don't look for the rewards right now, guys. Don't look for the things to come now. Don't look for the thank you cards. Don't look for the praises. Don't look for the testimonies. And don't look for the things like that or them to even necessarily say, you're so wonderful and I'm going to tell everybody how wonderful you are. Don't look for those things. Look for your reward from the true rewarder, the only reward we should really desire, reward from God. Which, in all honesty, in my opinion, I've already received. I've already received. Because what could I possibly do to ever repay for what has been done for me? So let's go out, show charity to all, because in so doing, we show the charity of the Lord, the love of the Lord, and bring an end to all these things, all the commandments, all the struggles. Love from a pure heart. Love that will tell them what they need to hear, whether they like it or not. But love that does it without a selfish motive.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.